This is a production of Money Honey Media. All advice in this podcast is general in nature. It should not be applied to your personal circumstances without first discussing with a tax professional.
Hi, I'm Jem Corley, and this is the Accidental Bookkeeper Podcast, brought to you by Jigsaw Tax and Advisory, where I have fun unpacking the boring but necessary things you need to know to run your small business. So this week is the Table of Knowledge, and it's the Compliance Table of Knowledge, so talking about tax and tax-related things. And I've sort of been trying to think of something that I've had to answer a few times lately that might be of interest to people. And it's kind of boring, but it's also something that I don't think any of us think about too much. And it is a little bit related to the FBT that we talked about last week or a couple of weeks ago, the fringe benefits tax and motor vehicles. But it's about what you can claim when it comes to travelling between workplaces or work traveling to work, what is considered work-related travel? And I feel like this is something that's probably more relevant now than ever before with lots of people working from home. Is my trip from home to the office considered a work-related travel expense if I'm allowed to work from home some days a week? Well, the answer to that is no. But I know a lot of people try to work out exactly what they can claim. Now, when it comes to, before we even get into what is considered work-related travel, there are lots of different ways you can claim travel. So we can talk about travel where you're actually traveling to a location where it might be that you're traveling away from work because you're going to a conference or something. Like last week, I went up to Brisbane. That was for a work-related purpose. So the airline trip was claimable. My accommodation was claimable. That was all the only, I know I did go out for a couple of drinks while I was there, but the actual purpose of the trip was purely work-related. But this one, what I'm really mainly talking about is the car travel. So using your car to travel to and from various locations that may or may not be claimable because it's work related. So if you are provided a car through your work, then that would be considered a fringe benefit. And you may be asked to keep a logbook so that we can minimise the amount of fringe benefits tax that's payable on that car. If you are provided a car from work, you can't then go and claim work-related travel in your individual tax return because if it is a work-related car, a work-provided car, that's been covered in your fringe benefits tax. You can't double dip and then go and claim those kilometres or whatever. Now, if you aren't and it's just a private car, we will often ask you when it's time to do your tax, did you do any trips for work? And you may be doing lots and lots of trips and have a logbook, in which case you've kept a logbook. Typically, a logbook should be kept for 12 weeks if it's representative of what you are normally doing. So that means that if you normally are a sales rep, you can keep it for 12 weeks and it probably should be fairly representative of what you're doing on a normal basis. You might need to do that again if circumstances change. One of those circumstances might be that you've changed jobs. I have seen people who've changed jobs and go, oh, no, the same logbook applies. I'm like, how can that possibly apply? You've changed jobs. You might move house. That's another reason why your logbook might be different. You might have changed the role within the business that you were working in. So there's a whole lot of circumstances that might have meant your logbook was different. Certainly over COVID with people working from home, logbooks may have been different at that point in time as well. But often people don't actually keep a logbook, but what they do is just keep a record of some of the little trips that they may make. And as an individual taxpayer, we can claim a cents per kilometre amount for those trips that are less than 5,000 kilometres. So you may have had to go to a course and you might have had to drive to that course and you know that you did that on, you know, such and such a day. You've got a diary record of having done that course. You can go onto Google Maps and have a look at what the kilometres was or you could have some other way, you know, you might have had your odometer readings and stuff like that, but you have something to justify that. So long as that's under 5,000 kilometres, we can claim a cents per kilometre amount. It changes depending on what year it is and that means you don't have to keep a logbook for, you know, a year. You just have to keep track of those trips that you're making. But what I want to talk about today is what those actual trips are and what we can keep those, you know, those records about, because there is always a lot of people trying to find a way that a trip may or may not be tax deductible, and or probably would be tax deductible, not they may or may not be tax deductible. And don't forget, these trips could also be things such as going on the train or going on the bus. So it could be that it's an Opal, you've got an Opal card or whatever, wherever you live, there's a, some sort of thing. But if it is work related, well, then yes, you can claim it. So the ATO have got a guidance on trips you can and cannot claim. And I think that's really interesting to go through. So we're going to walk through that a little bit today and come up with some ideas of what you can and cannot claim. Some of these things actually made me think a little bit as well, because I'm sure there's been times where people have claimed some of this stuff and they probably shouldn't have. So you can claim a tax deduction for the cost of transport on trips to perform your work duties, for example, if you travel from your regular place of work to meet a client. Now, that's pretty typical. If you go out to see a client, that trip from work to the client is probably going to be deductible to you. You attend work-related conferences or meetings away from your regular place of work. You deliver items or collect supplies. You go between two or more separate places of employment, such as you have more than one job, but not if one of the places is your home. Now, that is where I find this very interesting, because a lot of people go, yeah, but I work from home and so then I have to go to the office every so often. Is that work-related travel? Well, no, not really, if it's just going to the office that you could be working at. Or you go from your regular place of work to an alternative place of work that isn't a regular place of work, for example, a client's premises, while still on duty and back to your regular place of work or directly home. So, again, we're thinking about, are we going somewhere that we shouldn't necessarily or don't normally go to? I work in two different offices. I work in Sydney and I work in Goulburn, but that doesn't mean that I can claim, because I work in two different offices, I can't claim my trip from home to Goulburn, in all honesty, because it's still just getting to work. Just as my trip from home to my Norwest office is my trip, is just a trip to work. Now, if I came to Norwest and then I went to Goulburn for from there, potentially I could claim that, but I'm not going to do that. If my staff who work regularly in the Sydney office go to Goulburn, they can claim that because that's not their regular place of work. Or if my staff who work in the Goulburn office come to Sydney for some particular reason, they can claim that trip because that's not their regular place of work. If one of my staff comes into the office and then I say, can you just go out and see a client, they're over at, I don't know, Castle Hill, that trip is claimable, both going there and coming back to the office, or potentially going there and going home is claimable, or going from home to there and then back to the office. So it comes down to, what are you doing that's different to the what is expected. Now, there are, and I have had people say to me, but like, what about if I live a long way from work? So the ATO have said that these trips are considered a private expense if you're just getting from home to work. Even though that's what you need to do to earn income, they're considered private expenses even if you live a long way from the place you regularly work at. So for me, that's Goulburn. It doesn't mean I can claim it. It is a long way away. You work outside normal business hours, for example, shift work or overtime. And again, I have a lot of people say, yes, but I'm on call and I have to go in. I should be able to claim that trip. Well, no, if that's where you normally work and you're working shift work, you still have to pay. You still can't claim that, even if you have to pay some other form of way to get there. So maybe you can't normally catch the train because it's at night where you would normally catch the train to work, and you drive, it doesn't matter. It's still trying to get to your normal place of work. You do not, this one I find interesting, you do minor work-related tasks on the way to work or the way home from work, for example, picking up the mail. Now, I know there are probably people out there who say, well, I pick the mail up on the way to work and then I drive to work. So that area between the mail and the office is considered work-related travel. Well, actually, apparently not. So just be careful of that one. You go between your home and regular place of work more than once a day. So you can't claim that. So you can't go home for lunch and then come back and go, oh, well, actually, that was a work-related trip. You are on call. For example, you are on standby duty and your employer contacts you at home to come into work. You have no public transport near where you work. You do some work at home, or you work from home running your own business and travel directly to a place of work where you work for somebody else. So again, just be really careful about that working from home and trying to use that as an excuse to say, well, this is where I work. I hear people say it all the time, but I work from home. So when I go somewhere else, I can claim that as a work-related travel. Not necessarily, unless it is specifically different to what you would normally be doing. So there are a couple of exceptions from that, and this is where they say you can claim travel between home and work. And there are three exceptions, and I'm going to go through each one of them because, again, interesting stuff, and I think if you're trying to claim some of these things, you really need to make sure that you're on track with all of this stuff. So the first one is if home is a base of employment. So you can claim a deduction for the cost of a trip from home to your place of work if your home was the base of employment, but you must meet all three of these conditions. So what are the three conditions? The first one is you're required to start your employment duties at home, then travel to your regular place of work to complete those particular duties. The second one is undertaking the work in two locations is necessary due to the nature of your employment duties. And the third is the trip to your regular place of work isn't part of a normal trip to work that would have occurred anyway. So as an example on that, there is an example that they give about an IT security director, and the guy has, he's on call 24 hours a day to be notified if there's a security breach. Now, his employer installs a security terminal at his home so he can work from home if he receives a call out of hours. Normally, Tom would provide advice over the phone to the staff on site, and sometimes he would log into the secure terminal at home to correct the issue. At times, Tom starts working on a security issue from home, the home terminal, but it then is required to drive into the office out of hours to resolve the issue. On these occasions, the transport expense he incurs for this journey is deductible. As his home has become a base of employment, however, his regular daily trip to the office is not deductible. So there you go. There's an example there. If you are just a home worker and you are meeting all of those three criteria, that you know, every so often trip could be considered tax deductible. The second reason that you may be able to claim home to work is because you're transporting bulky tools and equipment. But again, there are a couple of conditions that you must meet to be able to do that. And this is for probably typically for a tradie or someone who has lots of stuff that they can't. We've always said if you can't get a bus with the equipment that you have, then you could consider driving from home to work because you've got to take all of that stuff with you as being a tax deductible trip. So the criteria that you have to meet, the tools and equipment are essential to perform your work. So just because you have a toolbox in your car doesn't mean that you can claim that trip if it's got nothing to do with your work. The tools and equipment are bulky, meaning that they are awkward to carry on transport because of their size and weight, and they can only be transported conveniently using a motor vehicle. There is no secure storage for such items at your workplace. You don't transport the tools or equipment as a matter of a choice. For example, if your employer provides secure storage and you choose to take the tools home instead. And if you do claim the deduction, you will need to keep records of all the work items you carry, the size and weight of all of the work items, evidence that the items you carry are essential to your work, and evidence that your employee did not provide secure storage at the workplace. Now, they go on to provide a couple of examples about that. And the first one is about a guy who's in an orchestra and he plays a double bass. You would imagine that that is a bulky thing to carry to work. And, you know, given the situation, they have said that that would be considered work-related travel. But the second one that they talk about is a person who works in a mining site, and that she has got tools and equipment, but she's allowed to store those at the site, and she chooses not to, because she just prefers to have it there with her rather than on site. And in that situation, the tax officers said that that is not really considered not work-related travel, because she could have had the option to keep those things on site. So the third way that you can claim work-related travel from home to work is if you do itinerant work, which means that you have shifting places of work. And so really this is probably someone like a sales rep. So the following factors indicate you do itinerant work. You travel because it is a fundamental part of your work, not just because it is convenient to you and your employer. So that doesn't mean that you go, I do itinerant work. I work at a coffee shop in one location one day and another coffee shop another day. So it's got to be related to work that you have to do that. You have a web of workplaces you travel to throughout the day and no fixed place of work. You regularly work at more than one work site before returning home, and you are often uncertain of the location of your work site. Your employee pays you a travel allowance because you need to travel continually between work sites, and you use this allowance to pay for your travel. Now, it doesn't mean that the employer has to pay you that travel allowance. That is an indication of it. It doesn't say that you have to do it, but you definitely have to be able to prove that. Again, just be careful of these things, because a lot of people do try to manufacture these work-related travel, and I think the ATO are pretty clear on it. I think they're starting to crack down on it a lot. A couple of things to remember, again, who owns the car? If you are claiming travel and it's owned by a business, it's not deductible. You know, I've seen situations where maybe a husband and wife have managed to get two cars from their one of their employers. So even though it's been a salary sacrifice on behalf of the partner, that means someone's got a tax deduction for it. You can't then go and claim work-related travel. So they will go back and have a look at what car you were traveling, you were using to claim this work-related travel, and they will see who owns it. And if it's not owned by an individual, but it is owned by a business, they will reject that claim. Again, when it comes to transport, whether that transport's a taxi, whether it's a car, a train, a bus, it really comes down to the purpose of the trip, not the cost of it. So if you live in Sydney and work in Melbourne and have to fly there every week, that is not, and it's just your normal place of work, that's not deductible. All right, I feel like I've talked about this for a lot, and I feel like I talk about it all the time at work, but the tips are, do keep track of the things that you think might be work-related travel. Often when people come in, I'll say, you know, have you been to a conference this year, or have you been to any in-service training, or have you had to go to a meeting somewhere? And they'll go, oh, yeah, that's right, I do. Every couple of weeks I have to go to some meeting in another office, or I have to, I went to a, you know, some sort of training course and what have you. Think about it. What the easiest way to do is to either write it in your diary or get your ATO app, because I love the ATO app, and you can actually record the trip in your ATO app. That way you're not going to forget about it. But just be careful. Don't manufacture this stuff. And particularly if you're trying to get a logbook with lots and lots of kilometres in it, the ATO are not stupid. They are going to look at your job and wonder why you're doing so many kilometres, and clearly some jobs require that and other jobs don't. So just be careful about it. Hopefully that's helped clarify some of these work-related trips. But yeah, apparently getting the post on the way doesn't help. So anyway, thanks everyone. I hope that's provided some information to you, and have a lovely weekend. Thanks. Bye. Money Honey Media would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which this podcast is recorded and produced. We pay our respects to elders both past, present, and future, and to all Aboriginal people who are listening to this podcast.